Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the story of what usually gets called the story of the Good Samaritan. Perhaps Jesus, one of his most famous stories, maybe even the most well-known story that he told. And there's one haunting line in there I think says a lot to maybe where we are as a country right now and what things have been going on. But the guy pushes Jesus and says, "So who is my neighbor?" And with, seems like, a lot of senseless violence and killings and even issues of race and other things that seem to keep opening like a wound that just won't heal, that is a very good question that Jesus asked or responded to 2,000 years ago, and yet we're still responding to today. Well, the way we're going to get at that is to talk about the story in three different ways. One is a story about pride, one is a story about compassion, and then one is a story about forgiveness. So we're going to look at this story kind of through three lenses. First, a story about pride. It is that. It's also a story about compassion, though, and it's also a story about forgiveness. So first, story about pride. So you have this man, he gets called a lawyer in our reading. That doesn't mean what we think of in modern terms. This is a trained religious professional, clergy type lawyer, meaning he knows God's law very well, and he's an expert, and he's trying to get Jesus, like many. So he kind of steps forward out of the crowd, gets to him, and he's, you know, going to trap him finally. And he says, "Hey, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And yes, I believe that that is a question that all of our hearts, whether we admit it or not, that's a question we're asking. Whether we say it out loud or whether it's somewhere in the deep, secret, silent corners of our soul, we're asking that question. What do I got to do to be sure that God, we're okay, or that my eternity is okay, or that I'll go to heaven, or how can I be sure? Have I done enough? And it's so good of a question, Jesus doesn't answer it, like many good questions. And he puts it back on this guy, and he says, "Hey, you know the Bible, so tell me, Mr. Smarty Pants." And then he gives this textbook, good, perfect answer to God's word. He says the Shema, what every Jew prayed twice a day, including Jesus. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And so Jesus says, bingo, you got it. Do this and you will live. But that wasn't enough. He pushes and pushes and in a sense kind of pokes the bear and says, and it says, because he was trying to justify himself, he says, "So Jesus, who exactly is my neighbor?" Which, flip that around, he's also asking, who is not? Where's the line? Who do I have to extend love to? Who do I have to sacrifice for? And who do I have to serve unconditionally? And then when does it stop? Who gets my love? And where am I finally off the hook? But when getting poked, instead of getting mad this time, Jesus, he simply just tells a story. He folds his arms and says, "So there's this guy who's walking down that treacherous road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. It's only 17 miles, and I drove it a number of times a couple weeks ago. It's a very common route. The major highway goes there because they always follow the old routes. 17 miles, but it goes down 3,200 feet to the nasty, hot desert where Jericho is. And it's desolate desert with caves and all sorts of hideouts all along the way. So walking it alone is like wandering unlit back alleys in an unsafe part of Chicago well after midnight. So you do this in groups, not alone, but this guy's alone and he gets attacked by robbers who beat him senseless, take all his money, beat him some more, and then leave him bloody and dying." And then Jesus says, "So a priest was going down the road," which means he was likely going to serve at the temple. "But when he saw, he passed by on the other side." Now, if you can imagine, it's not just a desert road, it's more like a desert canyon. So if you're on one side walking, there's always something ridiculous about Jesus' stories. To pass on the other side, you either got to go back 10 miles, or you just can't do it because it's really a canyon. So then next, another priest comes, a Levite, and Jesus says he did the same thing. But then not just a Jewish layperson, not even a Greek, not even a Roman, but a Samaritan walked up. And when he saw this guy, his heart melted, and he had compassion. And he kneels down, and he cares for his wounds, and he helps him, and then he picks him up and puts him on his own donkey, and then leads him to a roadside guest house, and then pays out of his own pocket hundreds of dollars for him to be cared for. And then he even says, I'll come back and give whatever is needed to take care of him. And then Jesus turns to this guy and says, which of these three was actually a neighbor to this man left for dead? And then he's uncomfortable. He kind of hems and haws and looks down like when teacher's about to call on you and you don't want to be called on, and says, I guess the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says, you go and do the same. First, this is a story about pride. The Bible expert, the smarty pants theologian, was smugly trying to test and catch Jesus to see if he knew his stuff and to show himself to be good. It was pride. He kept pushing, it says, trying to justify himself, trying to prove his worth, that because I'm smart, I matter. And then to top it all off, he couldn't even bring himself to say the word. Jesus said, who actually was neighborly? He was so prideful that he couldn't even say the word Samaritan. He could not spit it out. That's why he beats around the bush and pathetically coughs up the one who showed him mercy. He can't even say it. You see, to every Jewish person in Jesus' day, good and Samaritan were words you did not put together. They were the ultimate oxymoron for a Jew. It's kind of like vegan bacon-wrapped double cheeseburger. They don't go together. Good Samaritans did not exist in their minds because they had a long history of mistrust, of hurt, of violence, and of mutual hate back and forth. And it's a little too easy for us today just to gloss over it and condescendingly say, well, you know, they were racist, but now we're so much better. Good Samaritan would kind of like be saying, good Nazi. Or more modern, good Taliban. So what about you and what about me? Who are the people around you or that you know of that you would rather not help if they were in trouble? Who are the people that you think are not worth your time? Who are the people that just get under your skin and stay there? Who are the people that you would not want to stop and help you if you had a flat tire on a desolate road or in an inner city? And what kinds of people are you afraid of? What do they look like? And who's the last person on earth that you would ask to save your life? I'm finding this more and more, that when people post something political on Facebook or other social media, I'm starting to see a lot more comments that say, if you disagree, either don't comment or please unfriend me now, I don't want to hear it. What that tells me is that we all have people that we dismiss and don't want to deal with. Yes, this is a story about pride for me and you as well, but it's not just a story about pride. The second thing is it's a story about compassion. Compassion. You see, it's hard to convey how shocking the story is that Jesus tells. In a sense, you look at how he tells it and says, no wonder they wanted to kill him. To make the Samaritan man a hero of a story is completely shocking. And to give you a few more modern examples that might help you understand, I know some of them might ruffle your feathers or offend you. Don't worry, I'll try to be an equal opportunity offender. But bear with me, because I think they help explain in modern terms what Jesus really said. And most of this is somebody else's words. Here's a few possibilities. A Jewish man is robbed and beaten, and a good Hamas member saves his life. A liberal Democrat is robbed, and a good conservative Republican saves her life. A white supremacist is robbed and beaten, and a good black teenager saves his life. A traditional marriage activist is beaten and robbed, and a good gay couple saves her life. An atheist is robbed, and a good Christian fundamentalist saves his life. Donald Trump is robbed, and an undocumented Mexican immigrant saves his life. Or Hillary Clinton is robbed, and yes, Donald Trump saves her life. And in your head, you start to say, these things would never happen. Exactly. That is exactly Jesus' point. Compassion, Jesus style, does the unthinkable. Does the thing that you say that will never happen. Does the unthinkable. Compassion, Jesus style, loves the unlovable to you. Cares for the person that you suspect the most will actually try to harm you. Jesus himself not only said this, he did the unthinkable. Not only did he stand up to religious powers and political powers and then let himself be killed without a fight, he died for your pride, for mine, for your racism, for mine, for your apathy, for mine, for our incompassion. Jesus has compassion on you and does the unthinkable. He dies for you. Yes, Jesus is your good Samaritan who finds you beaten and bloody on the road and binds your wounds and carries you home. And Jesus pays with his blood the entire cost for your forgiveness and your eternal life. Less than 2 weeks ago, this is on the New York Times website if you want to read the longer article. Less than 2 weeks ago, Dr. Ali Shrook, a Palestinian doctor, was traveling to Jerusalem from West Bank town that he lived in to go pray at the Temple Mount on the Muslim day of worship, which is Friday, during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. So a big deal for them to go to Jerusalem. He was driving with his brothers on a West Bank road, and they came upon a vehicle that was flipped over. The vehicle was big and boxy, which meant room for many children. So for them, it was very easily identifiable as a Jewish settler family. So to say that there is skepticism, fear, hurt, and hate both ways between Palestinians and especially Israeli settlers, that is beyond understatement. And the car crashed after a Palestinian terrorist gunman shot the car, shot the father dead, who was a rabbi, and other people wounded in the car. Dr. Shrook did not even stop to think that he was witnessing the aftermath of a terrorist attack. He simply saw people in need of medical care, the thing that he was gifted by God to do, and he helped, even though they were, by all counts, his enemy. So he and his brother helped extract the wife from the car. He used a towel to press the wounds of the daughter. And then when a team of medics finally arrived, Dr. Shrook was then warned. He was told, "You need to leave immediately. You're not dressed like a doctor. You have blood all over your shirt. You could be treated as a suspect here. And if angry bystanders suspected him, his life then could be in danger." A doctor saves the life of his enemies and then has to flee for his own safety. And that brings us to the third thing. Compassion often involves forgiveness. It's a story of pride, yes. It's a story of compassion, and compassion often, almost always, involves the third thing, forgiveness. For a Samaritan to help a Jew, he has to forgive a lot. There's a lot of bad blood, and you can read all about it in many books and other parts of the Bible. For today, a Palestinian and Israeli to help each other, they have to forgive a lot. And for Jesus to even tell this story, he actually has to forgive a lot personally. You see, we're in Luke chapter 10, walking through mid part of Luke this summer, but just a chapter earlier in chapter 9, Jesus has already visited a Samaritan village. So he's gone to this village, shows immense grace and mercy, and the Samaritans there completely reject him. They want nothing to do with Jesus. And James and John get mad, and they're so mad that they ask Jesus if they can call lightning and fire and judgment from heaven to smote this village. So Jesus just had a firsthand experience of Samaritans treating him poorly. And then what does he do? He now makes a Samaritan the hero of his story. Jesus redeems the whole people, the whole Samaritan people, by setting him up for thousands of years to come, by making him the hero of this story right after they mistreated him. What kind of person does that? Jesus, the man of forgiveness himself. It's because the God of the Bible is the God of grace, not just for certain people, but for all people. The God of the Bible is the God of grace for the whole world. No exclusions, no exceptions. Your goodness, your righteousness can't get you in, and your sin can't keep you out, because Jesus paid for it with his life. And so for Jesus, and in Jesus, there is forgiveness for Samaritans. And for us, there is forgiveness for racial hurt and prejudice and senseless killing. And there is forgiveness for your neighbor, the one with the Trump sign, or also the one with the Hillary sign. There is forgiveness for you and your desire for revenge, or in the middle of your moral failure, or in your lack of compassion. As Paul says in Romans, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or in Jesus' words, he says, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus is your good Samaritan who forgives your pride and then transforms it into compassion. And then when Jesus does that in you and in me, we will no longer be worried about saying, who is my neighbor? We won't ask that question anymore. We will simply focus on being a neighbor. In Jesus' name.